You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 14 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb Studios in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nick Kuntz. The Nasdaq has its worst week since March, but we have IPOs coming in a big week. Afrock's CEO, Skalk Venter, results to end June in the back of supply disruptions and weakened demand. And the state of the second-hand car market as Transaction Capital buys a stake in We Buy Cars. We chat with the executive director, Faan van der Walt. This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. SA crypto pioneer Luno finds a US buyer. In Business Day, Tito Mboweni, SA's economic outlook may be worse than feared. Morning markets, US was mixed. The S&P was up 0.05%, so only just. Nasdaq off 0.6%. Asia green, Sydney up 0.5%, Tokyo up 0.6%. Commodities also green, gold 1,958, Rand 1673 against the US dollar, and top 40 opening call looking for a green open around 0.8% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Nick Kuntz, he's a portfolio manager, Sunlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning. Two questions that really have been sort of burning our mind, I suppose. The first, and let's touch on go offshore. NASDAQ, worst week since March. Is it just like a little sort of flurry on route to more highs, or is there something to worry about?
So, morning. I think it's certainly been concerning a few investors for a while. It's been a very lopsided rally in the Nasdaq with a handful of those FANG shares, and certainly starting to push, levels that we haven't seen on an earnings side of the EPS and the cost. Certainly, the most expensive is .com. So I think it brought back a couple of memories, and people realised, maybe we shouldn't be going up as fast as we did. But saying that, I mean, these companies are making money. They are benefiting from this lockdown and this pandemic, and they probably will continue to push higher. But I think there's a little bit of caution flashing here that, value does come into play at some point, and these stocks at the moment certainly are not cheap.
Yeah, I take your point. I mean, they're making money, but value at some point has to become important. We've also got some large IPOs. I just saw a tweet you put out. Some fairly chunky IPOs coming out in the US, which is they're probably well priced. They're probably going to pop. But certainly, big IPOs weren't what I was expecting in sort of a pandemic environment.
No, it's certainly you do. Once again, you do ring that bell, get a little bit nervous from starting these monster IPOs coming down after. In a market that's already clearly run a little bit ahead of itself. But we've got a dozen IPOs set to come out this week, and we've got the biggest one is a company called, we've got Snowflake is the one, and another one is a video game company as well. In fact, the collection of IPOs now totaling the biggest listing since we had Uber. We know what happened there. So yeah. It's just once again, a little bit of caution coming with these tech shares, and I think we're starting to see what is certainly a bit of a healthy rotation. You mentioned the Nasdaq closing down on the Friday, whereas the Dow and the S&P a little bit were flat. So we're getting a little bit of healthy rotation back into value and out of these high-flying techs. And at the RPO, another reminder that, markets don't come companies don't come to the market at these levels to basically give their shares away. They know they can get a good price for it.
Yeah, they're absolutely looking for a price. Bringing it back home, the big deal last week in South Africa was the massive rally in SA Inc. We're looking for a green open this morning. Can that rally continue? I mean, again, we've almost got the inverse of valuations, where a lot of our sort of local stocks are cheap, although they're not quite making the money, are they?
No, look, it looks like a solid start. Green on the screen all round, and Asia almost a full house, almost every single market up there. We're going to follow suit this morning. Of course, the other big one is the Reserve Bank this week as well. We might even get a little bit of a rate cut as well, which is forecast. So I think, throw that into the pot with a cheap bunch of shares in South Africa. SA Inc, as you said, possibly going down to level one in the next week or so is the rumor. Economy opening up. We might just get a bit of a fade with some of these beaten down shares. But I think it's certain from the South, from an investing point of view, investing in South Africa at the moment. We've got a long way to go to match our counterparts elsewhere.
Yeah, I take your point on that. Quick last question. We've chatted a couple of times around Aspen. Mm-hmm. I know you guys were liking it all the way mm-hmm. back in sort of May, June. They've halved their debt down to, from what it was, 54-odd mm-hmm. billion. I get that they're sort of selling thrombosis. I thought not bad. They're earning 14 bucks and change, and yet the market didn't like it. This is a stock on, what, an 8 or 9 price earnings. Historic. Yeah. That, to me, screams cheap.
Horrible sort of last few days in that particular counter. Yeah, I'm actually chatting to my colleagues, everything they wanted them to do. You know, they are cutting their debt. They're going to get a massive chunk and going to reduce their debt by almost 40% when the cash, the initial payment comes in from. But there were comments around Mr. Saad once again coming out and talking about acquisitions in Southern Africa, and I think that completely spooked the markets. I think his investor relations must be pulling their hair up, because before he mentioned that, I think it was very, very well received, but I think that's what put a little bit of a scare onto the stock at the moment. But yes, Simon, you're right. It's about as cheap as it's ever been at these current levels.
Yeah, that's it. I think the result, but I think you're right. It was that acquisition word spooked the market, but the debt's gone. And he made a great point. I heard him last week, and he said, you know what, we've never issued shares. And that, to me, is deeply telling. I mean, they got into a bit of a debt hole, but at least they've never issued shares. And that's real.
Yeah, that is real. And certainly, but you know, once again, the markets have very short memories, because the markets were screaming a year or two ago about their debt, so they're breaching their covenants. And you got the impression that the bankers behind them also forcing them to sell some things probably they didn't want to sell. You know, long form in the business was supposed to be one of their gems. But the markets, they're doing what they were told to do. And I think it'd be unfair if they didn't get rewarded in the long term for this.
Yeah, I agree with that. Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Afrox had results out Friday morning, 6 months to end June. It was revenue off 10.2%, but the dividend down 30.9%, although there was some dividend coming. Headline earnings off 31.3%. I've got the CEO, Skalk Venter, on the line. Skalk, morning. Appreciate your time. Afrox is surely an essential service during that hard lockdown, but I imagine your issue was not that you weren't open, but that a number of your customers simply weren't open, and therefore demand was disappearing.
Simon, morning, and morning to the listeners. I'm 100% right. You know, during that April month, we saw about 50% of our volumes disappearing. So, yeah, you know, 50% of the volumes, and you still have a cost base, you know, since we were we still are an essential service provider. So, you know, 50% down in April. I did about 20% down in May, and then the recovery from there, yes, it certainly did have an impact.
I don't imagine you're back at normal levels just yet. We've still got an economy that's struggling, but it's improving. Are you, you know, things sort of getting to some sort of level of normalcy and at some point perhaps back to, I suppose, sort of February, March demand again?
So I mean, we hope for a recovery, full, of course, to volumes pre-COVID. We certainly see, depending on product range, either atmospheric gases, LPG or hard goods. So we see a little bit, you know, difference between the recovery rates in those three product categories, but certainly up to a level of about 90% for now. I think level one will certainly bring along, you know, an increase in the bulk LPG, more towards the hospitality industry, which includes the shopping malls. And as people start going out more, you know, consuming fast food, and this typically in shopping malls where we supply bulk LPG into those reticulation systems. Yeah, so we hope to see that recovery is coming in north of 90%.
Yeah, I mean, bulk LPG, the restaurant, the hospitality industry is obviously a large user of LPG. How significant is it in terms of your LPG business? It's always been, I'm aware of it, but it never occurred to me that actually it's probably quite chunky.
It is. If you think, for example, you know, we're a supplier to the waterfront, the Cape Town waterfront, mm-hmm. you can imagine in peak season or in any season, the number of feet going through that facility. So it is quite large. You know, the other large users of bulk LPG would be automotive industry, which was also not deemed to be an essential industry, and of course certain steel manufacturers also. So in bulk LPG, we see, you know, we've seen a large reduction. But funny enough, well, in against the backdrop of quite a cold winter, we've seen that our cylinder LPG to the domestic market has grown by 1%, you know, that volume. Mm-hmm. So that was quite solid during the peak of the lockdown season. Just thinking about bulk LPG makes up maybe about 55% of our total volume distribution in South Africa.
Your domestic market, you mentioned that, heating and some cooking. I'm a user of gas at home, and I wouldn't go back to electricity for anything. I love the instant of it. Is that still a fairly small market in the domestic space?
Simon, it is, and it's the ability, you know, to reach, you know, the end consumer. In Africa, especially for medium and lower income households, one has to facilitate a different process. You know, you've got to take the product to the market. You've got to take the product to the customer. Mm-hmm. And through two initiatives with PE distributors, we are now certainly growing that volume, you know, that reach into those, you know, into those communities and societies. One specific example would be, you know, called Paygas, which is a company that we, you know, a PE company that we work with. And, you know, customers can now go take their cylinder and, like at a petrol station, say, I want 5 rands worth of gas or 20 rands worth of gas, and they pay via electronic voucher on cell phone. So it facilitates, you know, cashless, safe, cash flow easy for, you know, for the consumer, transaction. So they have gas for heating and cooking for today. So I think that's been very successful for us. You know, we've put 70,000 cylinders into that market, and we look at rolling that out further. We take the product to the consumer.
Yeah, that's a great point. And there's also that you don't have to go shut out for the entire sort of 9 kilos of, what, 200 odd rand. Atmospheric gases, is that mostly into the healthcare business, which I imagine in one part demand was still there, but we've also seen, certainly from the hospital groups and the like, you know, elective surgeries have disappeared. So probably a bit of a mixed bag there.
100% correct, Simon. We've seen, you know, as you rightly say, a normal procedures being sent home. And to keep the wards open for the expected COVID rush. Luckily, I think for the whole country, you know, just from that point of view, the peaks have happened at different times for different provinces. I think if it all had to ramp up at the same rate, it could have been a lot worse. Yes, atmospheric gases also gets used in oxygen for certain industrial processes, and of course nitrogen, which is a blanketing gas, more safety type application. So we saw, you know, reductions in, especially around the refineries. But then there was quite a stable healthcare market, as you rightly say. And I think we saw, unbelievably, but true, some growth in food and beverage, especially around CO2 for carbonation of certain drinks. You know? So that was quite a strong, still a strong market for us. That sales was only down for that division about 5.7% compared to LPG, which was, as I explained, from the bulk side, 11% down, and hard goods, which is all our welding, that was down 22%. That's really affected by the wider economy.
Yeah, we were all sitting on our couches having ourselves some soda. Skalk Venter, CEO Afrox, appreciate your time. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years. Constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact, protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Font van der Walt. He's executive director of We Buy Cars. Announcement out late last week that Transaction Capital was looking to take a 49.9% stake in the business. Font, morning. Appreciate your time. Around almost 11 million cars in South Africa, and we're doing, what, a couple of 100,000 new vehicle sales per year. The second-hand market, I'm guessing, is actually probably larger than our new vehicle market in the South African space.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, it is a much bigger market than the used market. And what we've seen is that it's growing despite the fact that new car sales are down year on year. And it's mainly because that the cars exiting this car pool is less than the new cars sold.
Yeah, and I'm imagining, it was one of the questions. I mean, in the last sort of 6 months of pandemic and, you know, obviously consumers under pressure, flip side, lower interest rates, and you've got the MPC again later this week. I mean, are you seeing increased demand on the purchase side of vehicles? Are you seeing increased supply coming into your showrooms?
Yes, definitely. I think what happened is with COVID-19 and new car prices rising sharply, you know, the demand for good quality used vehicles have grown, and we've seen it in our business with lead count sitting at an all-time high, but also, you know, with the uncertainty, you know, the amount of people wanting to downscale has also increased at the same time. Fortunately, with interest rates being as low as they are currently, you know, it's never been a better time to buy a good quality used vehicle.
Yeah, your business is, I mean, you know, the broadly, I log on, I say I've got a car, you give me a price, and then if I like it, someone comes and checks it and confirms that price. Were you able to continue operating? I'm imagining you weren't qualified as an essential service during lockdown.
No, we got a good fight, you know, for nearly 3 months, we weren't allowed to sell any cars whatsoever, you know, and that was across the industry. So it was scary times indeed. Fortunately, we did develop e-commerce online capabilities, mm-hmm. you know, which helped us recover and offer our cars during that time. And we took quite a few deposits on vehicles. And, you know, this grew steadily, you know, since the lockdown was lifted, or at least that level of lockdown was lifted. And currently our sales are being assisted 25% are online, you know, where people execute the sales process through our online portal. So that's quite exciting, and I guess it would not have developed as quickly had it not been for COVID-19.
25%, that's a giant number. Are these people, I mean, are they essentially buying a car? I mean, not unseen. I mean, they know the car. I've had a look at your website. There's a wealth of information. You know, the one I was looking at even said, you know, the left back tire is a little bit worn, that sort of level. Are people basically just using the website and then saying, like it, click, click, please send the car?
Absolutely. And we don't send the car. You still need to collect it. That's something for the future that we definitely want to explore. But it's all about trust and transparency. So what we've done is we've partnered with DEKRA, who does an independent evaluation on the mm-hmm. vehicle, you know, just to inform a potential customer of the condition. Because remember, we're dealing in used vehicles. They aren't brand new, but yep. At least you know what you're buying. And, you know, by offering good quality photos a proper evaluation on the vehicle, you know, just assists in the buying process.
Yeah, the Transaction Capital deal, they're buying a 49.9% stake. Transaction Capital obviously got SA Taxi vehicles, but different in a sense. What's the logic behind the sort of the chemistry of the deal?
Yeah, it was interesting when they approached us. We also, you know, wondered, you know, what would be the benefit of partnering with them. But, you know, once we explored this, we really saw a lot of synergies between our companies. Firstly, you know, we share the same values and culture, and you know, they're very, very capable in what they do. They're extremely experienced in the vertical, and they've got a very strong management team. So we really believe that they can add value to our business going forward, you know, especially on the value-added product side and so on.
Fawn van der Walt, Executive Director, We Buy Cars. Appreciate your time this morning. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website and the MoneyWeb app. Podcast every morning from 7 a.m. website, app, and wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Chat to us on the social media, hashtag MoneyWebNow. This show was proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.